Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show.
Episode 377 of the Roguecast, recorded November 23rd, 2021. Ozzy Raymond.
All right, so if you're listening to this episode, if all goes as planned, you heard another episode that dropped about 2 days ago.
Oh, right. We were delayed last week by technical difficulties.
We worked very hard to get an episode recorded before I drove to Dallas for BGGCon all week. And then there was a glitch and it would not upload, and it finally uploaded on Friday.
The Matrix turned on us.
Hopefully, this one will not have the same glitch, and you will not hear this after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll see. If you hear this after Thanksgiving, you know what happened now.
I thought you were going to do, Randy, by the time you're listening to this,
it's already
too late. Or, yeah, our plan will already be in action.
It's Thanksgiving week. We don't want to go too dark.
I'm not some Republic serial villain, Dave. I released the podcast 23 minutes ago.
All right, Ozymandias. Ozymandias.
All right. So we did get a bunch of stuff into the store. We got the Vault of Magic for D&D, which is Kobold Press's new thing.
Yes.
It is a hardcover full of magic items.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's super fun. It's got, like, celebrities. Like, Gail Simone wrote some of the stuff and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. They brought in lots of people to come up with cool and weird ideas.
There's a local guys brought in a card game called Mulligan, which is a little card game where you play golf.
Yep.
Which seems like a fun little game, and if you know people who are golfers in your life, it might be a good Christmas stocking.
You're obligated to just go ahead and get them this one golf board game.
Yeah.
It's a card game, I believe.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a card game. we got the Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King, which is a pandemic-themed game.
Yeah, I don't know quite how it uses the methodology or the format of a pandemic, but I assume that there's, like, you know, orcs rampage the same way the virus spreads.
I think it's undead.
Oh, you're right. That makes sense.
And I know that they used the army mechanic that was in Fall of Rome, which had, like, multiple different factions.
And I'm sure there's a Lich King card that automatically kills you or something.
Yeah. And we did get the bonus card, so if you buy it, you get a bonus dwarf character.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like a neat-looking... It's not just, like, a little card that you get. There's, like, a little box that you get it may only have a card in it, but it looks dope.
Yeah.
It's like a dwarf... Some dwarven hero,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The Critical Role unpainted miniatures came in, the first wave of those, which are pretty cool looking.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's WizKids, right? It's the high quality we've come to expect from them. But slightly, somewhat more, I think, unusual races and classes and stuff like that in there per the Critical Role lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's, like, a Bugbear Fighters or something, but, like, yeah, there was, like,
There was classes I didn't even know.
Stuff I hadn't heard of, yep. And some cool monsters, yeah.
But all you weirdos that watch Critical Role know what it's all about.
There was that Disney card game, The Gathering of the Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
That uses,
right.
It's kind of like
spin-off of the Wicked game, conceptually, I guess.
But it's like a deduction kind of...
Oh, right, it's based on the werewolves game. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the werewolf who's a Disney villain kind of thing. And the answer, obviously, is whoever brings the poisoned apple to the wedding.
That's true.
We did get the new magic set, Crimson Vow.
Yep.
Seems to be going over well.
It's based on a vampire wedding. Did you know that?
No.
There's a, like, the whole theme of it, there's, like...
That's the vow.
There's a character, yeah, there's a cards in there for the bride, the groom, you know, like, the officiants, the duke who's, like the royalty. So it's like...
Oh, that's cool.
It's a cool idea. It's pretty cool.
I like the specificity of it.
Yeah. There's also...
And that's got, like, what? Bundles, collectors... cards,
draft boosters,
commander decks.
And commander decks, yep.
Yep, there's all kinds of stuff.
Also, we got a thing, D&D Dungeon Scrawlers. Did you guys see this? This is a real-time game in which you have, like, a pad of paper that does, like, a dungeon on it, and you have, like, trace, like a path through it in, like, 90 seconds.
This sounds extremely anxiety-inducing. I think that if you pass this, you get to become a dungeon master. You get to fly the space shuttle. You get to do something.
Fly the space shuttle.
Yeah. I mean...
Sure.
That's probably one of those tests they did in the 60s. I think that was in the montage and the right stuff.
All right, Buzz. Sit down and go through this maze.
Well, let me at him. Such a can-do attitude.
The rest of the astronauts are solving Sudokus over here in the corner.
I want to see. I want to see a video clip of it, though. It sounds like it could be a cool game. It would just panic the hell out of me.
I brought a couple things back from BGGCon, which I'll talk about it at length. By the way, we're all yawning here.
Yeah.
You know why? It's why? Because the room is hot.
Yes.
And also the time changed. I'm still adjusting to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like 49 degrees out this morning or something like that. And so it was like very chilly in the morning. But now at midday with the sun beating down on us through this thing, just slowly warming us, we may well fall asleep while making this.
No, it's cold and I'm going into torpor.
He's a lizard.
Yes.
It's a lizard torpor.
Ozymandias the lizard.
Hi, vampire.
But I did bring back, I got Bequest, which is a newest game from WizKids. They've been doing some board games. And this is one in which a supervillain has died, and you all play his henchmen trying to get all his cool gadgets and become a new supervillain at his wake.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A backstabbing game of supervillain henchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
This Friday is Black Friday, which is sort of an official holiday.
Yep. You will all be weakened from your turkey gorging.
Yes.
But please find it in your strength to come visit us.
Black Friday is kind of different for us. We don't have like the crazy people stomping each other to get.
There's no doorbuster sales or crazy stuff like that. But we have a program that we've been doing for years that people like.
We do have a sale. Basically, you come in, you spend $25. Every $25 you spend, you get $5 in gift certificates that you can spend later.
So, for example, if you bought $100 worth of stuff, you get $20 in gift certificates.
That's correct.
And, it's pretty cool. You can use those as, like, holiday gifts themselves. You can return at any time and gift yourself with something. It's true. You're of a mind. Don't want to give anything to anybody.
Yeah. And we have restocked on a bunch of stuff. And today we just got in the D&D Curse of Strahd Special Edition again.
Yep, yep, that's the little coffin boxed one.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. We've been stocking up. There's, if you need advice on board games, I just played like 25 of them. So I can give you some advice.
Plus graphic novels from like the big hardcover of Something is Killing the Children.
Right.
Or Deceased, which has been a favorite of ours. There's all kinds of stuff.
We just got back in the Young Avengers trade that is all of Kieran Gillen's.
Kieran Gillen, Jay McKelvey stuff.
Oh, also, I hadn't seen that one. That's good to know.
Christmas is a good time for crime, so you can get the Reckless graphic novels that we all love.
Yes, you can get all three of them, and that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, coming on Black Friday, say hi. One of us will be here all day. So all three of us will be here at one point.
Yep.
Come in and get some stuff.
And it's a good kind of it's an energetic, positive vibing day.
Right. We won't all be falling asleep, except we will.
They're weakened by torpor. Take everything.
So then we've got we did not do a big podcast last week just because I had to go on the road.
Yeah, we did just comics last week.
Yep. But there was a big Disney thing that we didn't talk about. And so we've got that and some other news, and so we're just going to dive into all this news.
The Disney thing was actually like an event that had all these announcements,
right? Yeah,
it was
Disney Plus Day, akin to their D20.
They put Jungle Cruise and Shang-Chi on the Disney Plus app, and then they revealed a trailer of like, here's some Pixar stuff coming out, here's some Marvel stuff coming out.
Did you end up watching Jungle Cruise?
I watched half of it.
You didn't enjoy it?
I did not care for Jungle Cruise.
Oh, I like Jungle Cruise. It's fun.
If I were to choose a dumb rock action movie to watch, I would watch Red Notice, which I did. And we'll talk about that later. But yeah, no, I was not into Jungle Cruise.
Right. Or like Jungle Snooze.
All right.
Like Jungle Booze.
All right. You got any more?
You done?
I'll be back later.
So, first of all, let's talk about the Predator series. Predator is a series of movies, mm-hmm. which has one good one, one okay one, and a bunch of crap.
Right.
Right?
There's watchable Aliens versus Predator movies.
I actually like Predators, the Robert Rodriguez one. I think that one is good.
Like Predator 2 good, or...?
I think it's as good as Predator 2,
Do we need to put good in quotes?
Is it Red Notice good?
It's better than Red Notice.
Oh.
I mean, this has Adrian Brody. It has,
Adrian Brody's been in bad movies before.
King Kong.
Name one.
King Kong.
He wasn't bad in it.
No, but the movie stunk.
Rodriguez makes pretty watchable films.
Anyway, I think we can all agree The Predator has never quite reached the heights that it did.
That was the original one was John McTiernan at the peak of his powers. The same, essentially within the same span that he made Die Hard and Hunt for Red October, three of the like just best action and or suspense movies of all time.
Yep.
So, and the sequel, not an easy thing to live up
to. And the sequel had Gary Busey at like an 11.
Which is
Gary Busey's lowest setting.
Which is to say, there is a new Predator thing coming up, and we don't know much beyond premise and just premise.
It is called Prey.
Right.
And it is P-R-E-Y, not Eat, Pray, Love, Predator.
Finally, a Christian Predator movie. I've been waiting.
It's directed by 10 Cloverfield Lane director Dan Trachtenberg, I believe.
Yeah, and that was a big draw for me, too, because otherwise I'm not, like, excited about any upcoming Predator movies. But 10 Cloverfield Lane was a really good suspense movie.
It was excellent. And the pitch is basically, it's like 300 years ago. 300 years ago? That can't be right.
It was several hundred years. It may even be more than 300.
And basically, a Comanche warrior is being attacked by the Predators.
Right. The Comanche warrior is a she, so somewhat unique, too. And like that's it. There's like a bit of concept art that maybe shows, like, I don't know, maybe her silhouetted with a bow or with some kind of weaponry or something like that. It's just atmospheric.
At this point, I'm all in on anything Predator. I've watched them all. I've been
sad. You can't just say those things. The producers hear that and they're like, he'll eat anything.
This one is extreme on streaming. They're not even going to put it in theaters.
Oh, that's probably a good idea.
I mean, we've reached that point.
Interesting.
Anyway, I'm not all in on Predator. I am extremely out. But this might have my interest because I like the guy who did Tinkle and the Lane.
Even then, I'd probably still wait to at least hear like there's some good buzz on it or solid buzz.
Press play. Like me.
But otherwise, I could skip the Predations.
But I'm kind of excited about this now.
Me too.
We watched the 5-minute opening teaser for Jurassic Park World or Jurassic World Dominion.
I think you want to say prologue.
Whatever.
AKA Jurassic World 3.
Yes.
AKA at least the final for now movie, and I'm sure they'll spin it off into
AKA
some...
Jurassic Park 6.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this one is like a high concept thing that was almost like proof of technology, I think. Proof of concept for the tech.
Yeah, like it's like a 4-minute opening of like the dinosaurs 65 million years ago.
In their native era. Possibly fudging what all was in the same era. I don't know.
No, I feel
they
like,
might have tried to get it right.
I feel like somebody was... Didn't like Matt Frank say that this was bogus because they mixed all like the different generations
that
of dinosaurs?
Possible. Here's the thing. I don't know crap about dinosaurs.
I mean, I do know like say Stegosaurs and Tyrannosaurus Rexes or something like that, or like, you know, they're like, oh, they're like 2 million years apart or something like that. But... I actually want to look into this. They might have been able to mostly stick with actual dinosaurs in that era. But I'll say this. The T-Rex notably had the feathers on it.
The
little downy feathers, which we're increasingly learning, like dinos had.
It still looks like a badass.
Yeah.
And they used the Ankylosaurus, which is amazing.
Or Ankylosaurus, as I've learned to start saying.
Or Ankylosaurus.
And you sort of see that sort of shifting, you know, little survival vignettes among them,
really
culminating
beautiful.
With a big, and there's some really cool pterodactyls and stuff like that, too.
The animation on it is kind of breathtaking in its spots. I watched it on my big screen today, and it was...
Oh, that'd be the way to do it.
Yeah, it was really gorgeous.
I watched it on this tiny screen that was with the sun coming in.
And smudged.
And covered with dust, I noticed.
Yeah.
You might want to wipe that down, Randy.
That's okay.
But anyway... it culminates in a battle with like a T-Rex and another T-Rex like dinosaur. Does it take out the T-Rex?
It does.
And the sort of last shot of it is a little mosquito, a little prehistoric mosquito getting the blood from it, which we all know is an iconic Jurassic Park concept. Smash cut to today.
Yep.
Where a little bit reminded me of the scene in Twister where they're watching, The Shining is playing on an outdoor, you know, drive-in theater when the tornado attacks, and that way they can, like, show off their effects.
It's like the intro to the old drive-ins of Let's Go to the Lobby.
Yeah.
It's
a drive-in theater, and you see racing towards it from a forest is a T-Rex. We know that all these dinosaurs got loose in the last one. And started integrating with the world.
Yes, if you stayed to the after credit scene of the last Jurassic Park, you would have seen pterodactyls attacking Las Vegas.
Were they just perched around?
They were perched, but yeah. Come on, they're going to attack.
There was also that short feature film, or short film that they did.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
And that had, like, I love the closing credits on that one showed you straight up, like regular people interacting with it.
Were they up against, like, Triceratops? Like, or... It was a Triceratops and, like, a Carnotaurus.
Something like that. And the main story was a family camping.
It was like an RV park.
Yeah, so it's clear these dinosaurs are loose. They would be, like, a threat that you gotta just watch out for. And, like, a helicopter is tracking this one. They've got big, heavy tranquilizer dart guns. And, you know, it's clear that they've done this before. They're like, yeah, he's making for the tree line, and they're, like, following him. It's nighttime, by the way.
I want there to be, like, news updates, like, on local news, like, dinosaur migration patterns.
Today in the Dinosaur Report.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
There's a T-Rex. There's a 35% chance a T-Rex is going to eat your family.
I mean... This is the camp level I want.
We have a front of pteranodons coming in, and you're going to want to stay inside.
No, I think they can find a serious balance where they'll be like, you know, it's like, you know, traffic is being shifted from, you know, this highway because there's a, you know, Triceratops migration occurring or something like that. But it's like, and in sadder news, like, two people were killed today and when a T-Rex attacked a movie theater, whatever.
And we also know that Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum and...
everybody is in it.
Why can't I think Laura of her? Laura Dern. Laura nice. Dern.
Yep. I know that they're going to try and pull everything together. I have a feeling it's not going to be great, but I've liked the Jurassic World movies. Kind of taken as their own, they are a little bit more overtly like, let's have some fun with the premise. Let's kind of cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I enjoyed that.
I want Samuel Jackson to come back and play his own grandfather of the character who got killed.
This is not very specific.
Well, they did. They have cloning technology now.
Yes,
so I guess you could.
Samuel Jackson.
It's time for Nedry's back.
Hold on to your butts. Again.
We need another hack. We need a hacker.
Again. Clever girl. Again. Muldoon's back. It's Muldoon's revenge.
Oh, God.
Listen, they have cloned at least one human in these things.
They did.
Now, so theoretically, somebody from, like, John Hammond or somebody else who's key to the franchise could get cloned.
How about
as
that
story.
Weasley lawyer? Let's bring him back.
Gennaro,
yeah.
Yes, we know these things. I think I've watched the original Jurassic Park, like, at least 150 times.
I have seen it at least twice.
I've seen it quite a bit.
I love it.
I'm going to say I've seen it 8 to 10 times.
For you, that's like a million.
That's like a million, yeah. Now, this movie is 100 years old now. So.
Yes, it's true.
What else do we got, Randy?
All right, so a bunch of other trailers, some Netflix stuff. True Story, which is Wesley Snipes, Kevin Hart.
I can't remember the last time I saw Wesley Snipes.
Thing.
Like, in a movie.
Neither can the IRS.
He looked a little gaunt to
he
me.
Did.
A little gaunt.
He did.
Was he in that Eddie Murphy movie? Did he have some role in that?
He might have.
Dolomite?
I think he was, yes, and he was also in Coming to America, too, I think, right?
Oh, I didn't watch Coming to America.
I feel like he showed up in that. I don't remember.
But anyway, he's been getting back into work.
This is sort of like a crime. Kevin Hart plays like what Kevin Hart is, stand-up mm-hmm. comedian. His brother is Wesley Snipes, who seems to be kind of a...
Gang guy,
a screw-up.
And then crime happens.
I'm curious.
He's like Framed or something like
that,
right?
This is like a miniseries.
It's a miniseries on Netflix. It looks solid. I'm curious to check it out because I like Kevin Hart to a degree. He's surprised me more often than he.
A lot
than
of
I
fun
expected.
In the Jumanji movies.
Yep, he's great in Jumanji.
And here's my question:
in Hobbs and Shaw, he was fun.
Do you think he's doing this to kind of stretch his dramatic side, start to see if he can broaden his roles?
Yeah,
I think he might be.
Because it does look like he gets maybe framed for something. I wasn't quite clear on
that.
Yeah,
it looks like his brother gets him in trouble essentially by screwing up and. Causing
what
him to go to prison.
What a Johnny jerk face.
We saw the trailer for Silent Night, which seems to be a very strange... The apocalypse is coming, and it's all these families having, like, a big holiday gathering right before.
Yeah,
and it's like... Yeah,
and people are kind of,
they
robbing places.
They know
places
about it,
and...
but they are, like, trying to keep it from the kids initially, right? Or couch it.
Kind of looks that way.
But we don't know what the apocalypse is.
It looks like some kind of mist that comes and eats people. I don't know.
Yeah, so kind of... Yeah, it looks like...
I thought that was maybe just... melodramatic, you know, visuals, but not necessarily.
No, I think it's actually what it is.
Okay.
Some sort of gas has been released, and it is circling the globe, killing people. And, you know, hey, what? It stars Keira Knightley and Matthew Good, and I like both of those people quite a bit.
It's as ever, I'm not going to watch it just because it has some actors I like in it.
Same.
And as ever, Nick will.
Nick, press play.
But I did think that there was a pretty fun trailer.
I will watch movies based on just the actors involved because I like to support the actors.
You don't want him to go.
I know.
Keira Knightley could be broke tomorrow if Nick doesn't watch this.
Yep, it's true. And then how would Nick feel?
You watched all the Pirates movies?
Yeah, I like
this. Not for Keira Knightley.
Yeah. She wasn't one of the downsides.
No,
I'll say that.
Then we saw the trailer for Nightmare Alley, which is Guillermo del Toro's new thing.
Very kind of dreamlike
30s carnival.
I never saw the one with the Gill Man. What's
Shape
that called?
Of Water.
Shape of Water.
Me neither.
But that looks like a sad movie about a tragic freak and someone who falls in love with him.
Yes.
And this looks like a sad movie about a tragic freak at a more specifically like a straight up at a carnival.
Yeah.
With Willem Dafoe chewing up a lot of scenery as like the carnival barker kind of guy.
And it focuses on Bradley Cooper, who seems to be some sort of mystic kind of act. I don't know.
It's very weird looking. It's got a cast.
Oh, it's got an amazing
cast. I mean, it doesn't look... And like, in some ways, it looked almost too straightforward to me. I'm like, you know, there's all this, who is this freak of nature? Is he man or monster? And I'm like, I bet he's a monstrous type person with a heart and soul.
Or is it something inside Bradley Cooper that awakens and it's, I don't
shades
know.
Of
is it a malignant thing?
Malignant. It's time to cut out the tumor or the cancer. Yeah. Nothing can match that.
No.
Anyway, it looked kind of heavy-handed and obvious to me. I kind of need to. I'm not a big Guillermo del Toro fan.
Right.
I want to see Shape of Water at some point, but
not gonna rush to see this. But I'm curious because I do enjoyed Del Toro's work for the most part. I thought Shape of Water was heavy-handed and maybe not the best. It certainly didn't deserve to win Best Picture.
Did it win Best Picture?
It did.
Oh, that's crazy. Out of the trailers we've watched, it's the one I'm most interested in, and I'm just barely interested. we also saw the trailer. Okay, that's a lie. The one I'm most interested in is DC Super Pets.
Yeah,
The Rock playing Crypto is sort of a clueless. And
by the way, of the stories, of the ones we've seen, I think the, what's the one with the end of the world thing?
Silent Night?
Silent Night might actually have won me over more than the others.
Interesting.
What's it called? Super?
DC Super Pets.
DC Super Pets. CG, so it looks a little Pixar-ish.
CG, and it starts with The Rock is playing Crypto.
Yep.
As kind of a goober.
Yeah, he's basically having some fun. And weirdly, I did not immediately recognize that it was The Rock. He didn't quite have his Rock persona on.
I totally picked up the voice.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a very distinct voice, but I think I just didn't notice it at first.
But then something happens, and a bunch of rescue animals are imbued with the powers of the Justice League.
Yep.
And he must lead this league into danger.
Yeah, to save his master.
Kevin Hart makes another appearance. Kevin Hart is playing Ace the Bat Dog, apparently.
Yep, who's indestructible.
Indestructible.
Kate McKinnon, I couldn't tell which
maybe
one.
Maybe the Super Pig?
Yeah, that.
There's a scroll with lightning powers.
And a turtle that runs fast.
A turtle that runs fast. Get it? Because it's a turtle.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be the precise Super Pets that we had seen in the various DC Super Pets.
Yes. Yeah.
What, books and comics and things? Yeah. But there was not an animated thing of them yet, right?
No.
Because there were so many fun ones in there. Everybody had one. There was a pet for Aquaman.
Yep.
There was a pet for Black Manta.
Yep.
They would have he would have evil crabs and stuff like that.
I was hoping
so
evil crabs.
I mean, the doctor said they'll go away eventually, but they feel pretty evil.
It looked like fun though. I thought it was a good trailer.
Yeah.
Disney had a bunch of stuff. We're gonna talk about basically the stuff they did. They had a teaser thing that was basically like the car chase scene from Hawkeye, which I think is right out of the comics, more or less.
More or less.
Which was pretty great. And then a very short, like maybe 30-second Moon Knight trailer in which we see him doing a weird British voice, which I think is probably his Stephen Grant voice.
Probably, but...
And then they see a... from the back, we see a Moon Knight just beating the hell out of some guy on the ground. And then we see him leaping, and then there's a Moon Knight thing.
Right, not a lot to go on that one. I was a little disappointed.
Well, it is just a teaser. I don't know what's coming out. It's sometime next year.
Sometimes teasers can be inspiring.
But the costume looks good from what we can see.
Yeah, and from the back and the silhouette.
They're doing traditional. It looks like the Mr. Knight is not in there.
No, it definitely looks like traditional Moon Knight.
That's season two. Actually, if they wanted to have some evolution occur somewhere in like a follow-up season or something like that, that'd be a reasonable thing to
do. No, I think there's going to be like several different iterations of Moon Knight in this one where he'll go back and forth between personalities.
You're joking.
I hope I'm joking.
I mean, I can see them doing that too. It's like basically the way the character is open enough that they could do a fair amount of interpretation.
What if he thinks he's Wolverine?
Man, I don't know if people know, but there's one really Moon Knight series to definitely avoid.
It's Bendis's. Mm-hmm.
That's one where Moon Knight had three personalities, one Spider-Man, Wolverine, and
Captain America.
Mm-hmm. So that, like, in any given situation, he would, like, be bouncing around between them, trying to figure out how each one of them would deal with it. I think he basically just tried to pick, like, the three most popular Marvel characters and just do that, even though that's not really how Moon Knight ever has been depicted before.
Why did no one stop him?
He was at the peak of his power, I guess, in those days.
I'm hoping they branch out anymore. And use some of what... who did it?
Lemire?
Yeah, Jeff Lemire stuff, which was a little kind of crazy.
There were a few others, too. Jim Zub? No.
I hope there's werewolves.
Sure.
That's a thing sometimes for Moon Knight.
We saw a teaser for She-Hulk, which Dave, I don't even know if you saw the teaser for She-Hulk.
I did watch it the other day, but it left no impression on me. Like that and the Moon Knight and stuff like that, I was all a little like, meh.
The She-Hulk is my favorite of the ones we saw because we see her as She-Hulk and she looks great. We see her talking to Bruce about, like, don't, you know, this is powered by anger. And we see what looks like a throwback commercial for her law firm where Bruce has, like, the curly hair and she's, like, doing a, you know, I can help you kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what the tone's going to be, but I think it's going to be good.
Well, we know there's, like,
it's great casting.
Yeah, and we know they're going to be breaking the fourth wall.
Do we?
They've outright said that.
Oh, okay, really? That's interesting.
So,
I don't know about that, because that's a crack that allows for Deadpool to get
in. It's going
to
get Malcolm in the Middle up in here.
Randy, Deadpool's coming.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Nope.
No, that means She-Hulk is going to be, at the end of this, she's going to be narrating and Deadpool is going to interrupt her.
No, God, no.
That's
why?
How they're going to end it, Randy. It's closing credits. She's going to be doing a Ferris Bueller thing. She's like, what are you doing here? The movie's over. Go home. And then he'll be like, they don't have to go home.
No, I hate this.
Like, stick around. Hang out with me. Honestly, that would be one of the smarter ways to kind of do it.
It would.
With a superior character who broke the fourth wall first. Doing that and then just have Deadpool show up like the little piece of shit he is.
Deb, you can't decide whether you'd rather torture me with it or hate Deadpool.
You're right. You had to pick a lane.
You can either hate Deadpool or you can amuse yourself by torturing me with Deadpool. You can't do both.
Listen, my hatred of Deadpool has kept me from even watching the movies that I know are pretty good. I've seen clips. They're pretty good. I should watch them, but I won't.
The last one was we saw a Miss Marvel teaser. We don't even see her. We see her in, like, a store-bought Captain Marvel costume.
Right.
I wonder if they're giving her flight powers, if they're going to give her some of the Captain Marvel powers, basically.
Yeah, well, they are changing her abilities, I think.
I can get that. Stretching thing is
a little
kinda
too
weird.
Close to Reed Richards for visuals.
And they don't want to do the whole Inhumans thing.
It doesn't matter how her powers are. It's like...
Right, she can get her powers from a solar flare or from being bitten by a radioactive Marvel.
I think they're going to actually talk...
Miss Marvel.
I think they're actually going to tie her to, like, Miss Marvel.
Carol comes and bites her. Why don't you bite me? I want you to have powers.
Regardless, I'm very excited to see it.
Yep. That's the three we know of for next year, right? Oh, and they teased a whole bunch of other stuff.
I was going to say,
I don't think I saw the Miss Marvel one. I'll have to watch this later.
They showed the teaser for Secret Invasion, which was old man Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, yep.
With not a patch. He has both eyes. Mm-hmm.
Probably a scroll.
Probably a scroll.
We saw they teased a bunch of logos.
Yeah.
So Marvel Zombies is getting an animated spinoff,
which is awesome.
What If Season 2, Loki Season 2, Echo, spinning off from Hawkeye.
Yep.
Armor Wars, House of Harkness, which is Agatha Harkness.
Yep.
There's like 8 series on the list just for next year. It's great.
It sounds a little exhausting to me, but I will say this. I think that a friend was talking about how, oh my god, I just realized there's been more Marvel movies in like 20 years than the Bond movie franchise did in its full 60-year run. And I'm like, the Bond movie franchise was not doing world building. They weren't trying to recreate the fun of the comics the way they intersect. and Marvel is.
Yeah.
They're building a world, and like the point of it is to fill that space.
Also, the best Bond movie isn't as good as the worst Marvel movie. So
I don't know about that. I think
I that's hyperbole. Thor: The Dark World is not better than Goldfinger.
Don't at Randy.
But in general, I would definitely say that the quality level is a lot higher on the Marvel movies.
Randy, there are a lot of boomers out there right now who very much disagree.
Boomers don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, but they very much disagree.
If we were on the radio, maybe.
like an old-time radio?
Like old-time radio. Boomers only listen to radios.
They're like, oh, I remember when I listened to The War of the Worlds, and we thought it was real. Then James Bond came out, and we all loved it.
I think your history might be a little off, Dave. But what's your next? They didn't teach us shit.
Then the Marvel movies came out, and everybody was gay.
I don't know, that checks out.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's a good time.
That's my imitation of a boomer. all my knowledge of history.
They also put a trailer out for, this is not a Marvel-related one, but they put out a trailer for Baymax, which I guess is technically in the Marvel Universe?
I mean,
they sure did show Black Talon in there, and Stan Lee was in it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's as much as, what, the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, Randy?
Yeah, Deadpool wasn't enough. You got to put the knife in there again.
No, the Baymax trailer is really fun.
Yeah,
it is.
I felt like all their gags pretty much were hitting in that mm-hmm. one. And what is it? Baymax is going around helping people out. He's visits an elderly person, yeah. And
tells her to exercise daily, and yeah, looking for like the nearest community,
which is like
right outside.
2 feet from her. Yeah, and at first she doesn't hear him because she's hard of hearing, and you see he yes, raises on the little graphics of the volume TV, like volume raise appears on his chest, and he turns up his own volume. It's super, super delightful looking.
This is akin to what they did with Doug from Up. They did a series for him.
Which I haven't seen.
I haven't watched it either. I keep meaning to, and I keep forgetting, because I know Ed Asner, that was one of his last things that he did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I do want to watch that.
Oh. Well, yeah, I this looks like fun.
It does.
I wanted more Big Hero 6. I know they did a cartoon, but I wanted like a sequel. I want a full-on sequel, because I like those characters. I like the superhero aspect of it, but it's clear that this is what we're going to get.
And I liked Baymax more than I liked the superhero stuff, so yeah. this is right up my alley.
I don't have a strong preference on either. I will form the centrist, be the centrist on this one. I like Baymax, and I like the superhero stuff.
We also got a delightful teaser that told us nothing about Willow. There's a...
The Willow TV show based on the old 80s fantasy movie.
Done by Arrested Development's Ron Howard.
Yes, so as they joke.
Warwick Davis had a HBO show.
It had the word short or something. It was a pun.
I'm just looking it up, actually.
Warwick Davis of Harry Potter and...
And all the Star Wars movies. Yeah, he always played the short folks in Star Wars.
Also Willow.
And yes. Of course, Willow. He was Willow.
So, Willow, yes.
Upgood. Isn't it Upgood or Upgood?
Life's Too Short.
Life's Too Short.
It was a 2011 show on HBO in which it was sort of...
entertainment industry spoof, right?
It was sort of spoofing himself. Ricky Gervais produced it. It had that great bit with Liam Neeson that we always loved to reference.
Yeah. Just amazing. If you haven't seen it, look up Liam Neeson comedian. Mm-hmm. I think that should get you to this amazing clip.
But Warren Davis basically playing himself as this, like, full of himself guy who was in Star Wars and now is, like, you know, thinks he's a serious actor. And is, like, going around Hollywood. And it's hilarious. And this... I did not expect them to riff on that in this preview.
And yeah, I guess that was the vibe. Although, it also, like, if you've never seen it, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is that it's him talking to the upcoming cast of the Willow TV show. And... just really funny exchanges with them. Super hilarious.
Making fun of their names.
They also, a lot of them are like, he's like, they're like, oh yeah, I wasn't even born when Willow came out. And then, like, one of the ladies is like, are they going to, like, CG your face and stuff? And he's like, no. She's like, but you're kind of old, right? And he's like, no, the point is that Willow actually looks pretty good for his age.
Read the script. Unprofessional.
It was really funny. It gave no vibe as to what it was like, but there were a lot of, I was, as a fan of Willow, I was watching it and I was like, that's got to be Mad Mardigan's kid, or at least seems like it could be. Visually, this looks right. This could be the grown-up princess from it. Like, you can have a bit of fun playing at that, and maybe that stuff is even already known. I don't even know.
I don't think so.
They've also got the guy who plays Flash in the Spider-Man movies, and they've got the girl who played Flag Smasher in Emphas Nest.
Yep.
But she does a funny bit where she's like, yeah, we were in Solo together, and he's like, that's the only Star Wars movie I haven't seen.
I believe in the Life's Too Short clip with Liam Neeson, he runs into Liam Neeson, and he's like, Liam Neeson's like, good to meet you. And he's like, we were actually in Phantom Menace together. And he's like,
Okay. Other news, Nick, you posted a film, like everything that was done at the Marvel thing.
Yeah.
There was some footage from an Obi-Wan Kenobi and a concept art release, but not like a trailer or anything.
No, but it was released on like Disney Plus, and it was just like a 30-second kind of teaser, like all the Marvel ones.
They're doing Disenchanted, which is a sequel to the movie Enchanted.
Yep. The Amy Adams and...
That's a very fun movie.
It is. It's an extremely fun movie.
They had a first look at Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah.
Some people like Hocus Pocus 2.
I can't see why.
I'm not one of them, but...
It's one of my wife's favorite movies. We watch it every year.
I know of people's fondness for it. I can't see it.
In 2023, with many of the original cast reprising their voice roles, they're doing X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... This apparently ended with X-Men waving goodbye to Professor Xavier as he leaves with the Lander to the Shire homeworld.
Oh, interesting.
Which is interesting. They're going to pick it up.
Just to remind you, this is the 90s X-Men cartoon, the famous one that everybody watched.
Yep. They did a story, Jim Lee and Claremont did a story where they went and like the war scrolls that invaded that world. So I wonder if they're going to pick up on some of the 90s.
I would imagine they will.
That'll be interesting.
The show always kind of smushed together the timelines a bit. So they do the Dark Phoenix saga, but, you know, Gambit or whatever is one of the characters in it. But other than that, they would kind of try and stick close to it, it seems like.
I know... The internet broke with this news.
It's pretty big.
That series ran from like 92 to 97, and that's why they're calling this X-Men 97, because it picks up off there. I did not watch the show because I found that it could not compare to the amazing craftsmanship of Batman the Animated Series and later Superman, and I was just like, okay, it's kind of cool to see like how close to the comics they're trying to make it, but I just always felt the craft was so underwhelming.
Didn't you post all like the character designs from the artists?
Yeah, this was the closest thing that got to making me kind of interested in it was one of the lead, I think, animators on it. They posted, or maybe she's the key designer, they posted some art that she had done of the 90s characters, and her character roughs for them, character designs, were super good.
Yeah, they were great.
And I was like, it felt like it could take sort of those 90s designs and maybe make them feel modern, or, you know, at least animate them in a better way. And I suspect the animation is going to be better animation.
Although they are mimicking the animation because people like that animation.
Yeah. The lumpy, awkwardly muscled freaks.
I have a feeling this is not going to be for you and me.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm neither like big looking forward to it nor like worried about it. I hope it lives up for people. I think they're probably going to do a good job with it. And I wonder if they're going to like y'all said, like produce some more 90s stories. Maybe, but for all I know, they could seed in some stuff from present day stories.
Can you imagine if they do like Age of Apocalypse?
They're going to do Age of Apocalypse and Onslaught.
Yeah, there's lots of material for them to work with.
I think a revival that Randy and I are more excited about, which I don't even know if I put on the show notes, is the return of Party Down.
Yes, you did not put on the show notes, but I'm excited about that.
Rob Thomas is returning, and I think 5 out of the 6 main cast members are coming back.
Lizzie Kaplan is busy off doing a Fatal Attraction show for Paramount Plus, which is weird.
It is, but we're getting every other cast member back, and I am super excited.
Yeah.
You introduced me to that show. I had not heard of it.
And, I love that show.
It was amazing. So funny.
There's a couple other things, like they're doing a Cars show spinoff.
You talking about Pixar's Cars?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Ironheart. Ironheart also got a new logo.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated series that's going to do some more Spider-Man stuff. But yeah, I don't know if all this stuff is... And I Am Groot... spinoff series, Guardians Holiday Special.
Well, I know they said they're really beefing up their animation side of things.
That's a lot of stuff for 1 year. That's a lot of stuff.
Who knows if it actually will all be next year.
Maybe we'll get everything Marvel on Marvel every day of every year, every month of every year. And I'll be happy.
Yeah.
All right. That's all the news for the week. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk about comics for the week. We're talking comics for the week of Wednesday, November 24th. We are into the final month of comics, basically.
Comics of all time?
All comics, yes, because everyone knows this is the end. This is the end.
Dave, have you started making your list?
List of what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
the gray death mist will be coming for us all on December 31st, so everybody enjoy this last month of comics before the gray death mist kills us all.
Merry Christmas, Merry Death Mist.
Merry Death Mist.
that's our new version. Merry Death Mist.
Merry Death Mist.
Santa chortled. As the fog stripped our bones, skin from our bones.
Everybody getting something. Everybody getting something. Death Mist. All right. The big thing this week is Hulk number one, Donny Cates, Ryan Ottley.
Yep.
Taking over from the Immortal Hulk and going in a very different direction.
Right, and that's Ryan Ottley, artist of Invincible,
yep.
Among other things.
He also did a short run on Spider-Man there.
Yep.
This is a weird one. The big concept, I think we can tell, is that maybe Banner's gotten a little broken by whatever happened at the end of Immortal Hulk and yep. maybe gotten a little crazy.
Yeah. And has...
definitely decided to go about things in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty intriguing. I thought he went in a direction that I didn't expect, and that wasn't just like, I don't know, goofy Donny Cates metalhead stuff.
But the Hulk fights a Hulkbuster. So if you don't like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's a pretty brutal fight that reminded me of actually World War Hulk. Yeah, when he was throwing down in that one, a particular interesting spin on the old. How do you deal with an out-of-control Hulk? This is... there's something very different about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's like the old, oh, we'll strand him on a planet, or we'll send him to another dimension, or something like that. Clearly is not going to work, because Banner's got the Hulk's back, sort of, here. And yep. in a way that you'll have to read to see what's going on.
Yeah.
I am a fan of the title of this, the first part of Donny Cates' story. It's called Smastronaut.
there is a scene that involves some adamantium and a very painful thing that happens, and I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think people are going to like this. I think it is going to deliver. I think it's going to surprise people as to what's going on.
I'm also hugely fond of the way that Ryan Ottley draws the Hulk. It's it is very, I don't know, just kind of animated and fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think that sort of energy and sometimes the violence that probably he brought to
Invincible
is coming through on this. Obviously, the Hulk's not punching heads off or anything like that, but there is some violent stuff in this that goes a little bit beyond what you may be used to. There's a little cosmic stuff in this. I don't want to say what all of that's going on there, but there's some big things afoot. So I recommend checking it out. I think people are going to find it lives up to them and surprises them.
Yep. There is a new Hawkeye just in time for the Hawkeye series. It focuses on Kate Bishop going... she's leaving L.A. and going to road trip, and she runs across some family difficulties and some old Avengers villains who are... If you read this... And you know the Avengers all, you will know who the villains are.
Yeah.
But also, Lucky the Pizza Dog is in there, so.
Yep.
Really nice art. I really like this artist. I don't remember who the...
Enid Balam.
It's really good. And I don't know the art writer either. So, yeah it's fun. New Black Panther. He's back from space. And this is
why... They did acknowledge that he's still got some kind of... interplanetary empire or something.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm devoting myself to the Avengers right now or something.
But I like that basically Wakanda has become sort of a democratic state, and he is like not the king anymore, even though he's like regarded as one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it goes into a more espionage jaunt than I was expecting too.
If you're not the king but regarded as one, you can walk into any grocery store in Wakanda and like just take a thing of cereal. They'll just let you.
It's just true. Cereal?
They'll just let you.
Only cereal. If you are the Duke, you are allowed to have milk. but yeah, this is an interesting new start. It's John Ridley doing the
writing. I'm glad it is more down to earth than this interplanetary empire thing.
Literally down to earth.
Honestly, that's just a little too much. It's like you don't go to Wolverine for cosmic adventure. Yeah, he can have one every once in a while. And
Black Panther also would have made for a good five-parter.
Like an adventure in space for Black Panther. That's cool.
Yeah, maybe a 36 issue.
Don't spend years on it. Yeah. My God.
Where do we know the artist Juan Cabal from?
He's been on a bunch of stuff. I don't know where you know him from. Okay, but I know the name. Yeah. And it's good art.
It is really good art.
Star Wars Life Day Special.
That's right. If people don't know from the classic Star Wars holiday special, Life Day is like the Wookiee Christmas, basically.
It's Wookiee Christmas.
Yeah.
There are four sort of short stories by different creative teams. Jody Hauser is one of the writers. I see that Georges Janty is one of the artists. It's kind of cute and fun.
Yeah.
Nice little Christmas-themed Star Wars special. Joy Operations, Bendis brings his stuff to Dark Horse with, I think the most notable thing is, this is like a weird cyberpunky thing where it's like alternate reality. It's Bendis. You either like Bendis or you don't. But the art on this is by Stephen Byrne, who did the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Justice League.
Yeah.
And this is, it's really nice. It's really pretty. So if you like cyberpunky stuff and you don't hate Bendis's dialogue, might give this a shot.
I'm a person who likes some cyberpunky stuff, and I sometimes like Bendis' dialogue, and I sometimes hate Bendis' dialogue.
Quickly, there's also a X-Force Killshot one-shot by Rob Liefeld and Chad Bowers.
Yep.
So if you needed to see more of, why can't I think of his Major X, which is Liefeld's new favorite character.
And I believe they're supposed to be like hunting down, they're like, we're going to bring down Strife once and for all.
Yes. And if you are a fan of Liefeld in any stripe, I definitely want to check out.
You know, I would also mention, speaking of the cosmic, a little bit of cosmicness in the Hulk, over in Iron Man in issue 14, he gets the power cosmic. I believe this is going to be more like what we were talking about with an ideal Black Panther cosmic storyline, which is to say, it's. I think this will be short-lived. This is like when Spider-Man got the power cosmic, but it like fuses with his armor and everything. This whole issue is actually about him being struck with it and having this kind of dreamlike sequence as it like manifests inside him, and it kind of, he sees his life kind of from a fractured perspective.
I like the look of the armor itself.
Yeah, that it's cover cool. is by Alex Ross, yeah. And you'll see more of it on that last page in there, Nick. Yeah, it's a kind of a cool idea.
Neat.
So, yeah, cosmic doings.
There's also a fine print. I guess this is a webcomic by Stefan Sedgwick, who's been doing
Sunstone
most notably. This is his new sort of sexy book about angels and demons getting it on.
It's like a I read just the opening, and then it gets much naughtier later.
Yes, it does.
But a woman is like at a bookstore, and she's like in sexy sort of stories like this, she's what would be considered a average kind of dowdy looking woman, which is to say she looks just completely normal.
Yep.
She's pretty. Mm-hmm. But she sees that the person at this bookstore who's helping people is wearing this what looks like a succubus kind of sexy outfit, and it's like actually has horns and stuff, and she's like, is this for some special promotion? And the lady's like, oh my gosh, you are one of the very few people who can actually see this. And she finds out this woman actually is a succubus. And that the kind of both like what people think succubi are is wrong, and that there are deals to be made, and then it becomes, it looks like a kind of sexy book about this woman who, I got the vibe that she was, if not asexual, was inexperienced and was not sure what she wanted, if she wanted anything at all, and this might be about the kind of deals she makes. And it looked like there was like some, there's more to it. There's actually some story in there too, that is not just naughty times.
Sunstone has that too. Like, it's in addition to just the awesome artwork that Sedgwick does.
Yeah,
he always does some good characters.
Yeah, I read enough to think I think I'm going to want to read this.
Yeah. Geiger, the post-apocalyptic serial book, superhero book that Johns and Gary Frank did.
Jeff Johns, yep.
Gets its trade paperback collection.
I think I might read that in trade paperback form. Yeah, I think it'll read better that way, and I like Apocalypse.
Also, this is a big, thick trade for $10.
Oh, that's $10?
Yeah, $10.
Dang. You all should buy that.
Good to give it a shot. Other stuff this week, new Amazing Spider-Man sees Ben Reilly facing off with Kraven.
Yep.
The start of a new story in Thor. Next chapter of Death of Doctor Strange. Next chapter of House of Slaughter. The penultimate chapter of the first Robin story arc. And DC versus Vampires, which I think we were all a little lukewarm on the first issue.
This is a 12-issue miniseries.
There were some, there were a few moments in the first.
There were a few moments, but it was a little weak.
Minor spoiler, yeah. The character that is in DC is often called I Vampire, a good vampire, essentially.
Yep.
Finds out that there's like this plot to... that the vampires, which have long had kind of a detente with humanity, they're like, well, we're not going to go into all-out war with them, that they have decided to do that. They've decided that, for whatever reason, all bets are off, and they've begun taking over supervillains in particular. And the I Vampire, he is telling this to Hal Jordan of the Justice League, who, minor spoiler warning, turns out to have already been infected and kills him in the end.
Wait, what?
He exposes him to sunlight. He's an awful Hal Jordan. And this issue, I Vampire set in some stuff in motion. He got word out to, like, Lex Luthor.
You Vampire?
Don't confuse the people, Randy. he does actually have a name. I just don't know it.
Andrew Bennett.
He got, like, word out to Luthor, who's super smart, if not very trustworthy. And it trickles down to the Bat family in this one in a much more readable second issue. This is what you were starting to say, Randy. Yeah. Slightly kludgy first issue, but the second issue I really enjoyed, actually. Yeah, the Bat family stuff was super good.
Yeah, it really was.
And, James Tynion's been writing Batman Detective?
No, he's been writing Batman.
Batman and, of course, the Joker book and stuff lately.
And all the horror books we like,
Something is Killing the Children, all that. And this was just, there's a lot of clever and fun stuff in it. They name drop an old Batman story that got rethought.
Like one of the very earliest Batman
stories. Yeah, the Batman and the Mad Monk, a vampire story that was now has been kind of branded as Batman's first encounter with vampires in the supernatural
and
in general. Matt Wagner did it and very much kind of pinned
it down.
That
was probably like 10 years ago now.
Or more, like 10 or 15 years ago. But it was cool to see. That was like a nice deep cut to see in here. We're wondering if that's going to play a role in it. For sure, this second issue has raised my opinion of the series.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit, and there's some fun sort of moment-to-moment stuff. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Yeah, everything?
That's it. Yeah.
All right. I think that will probably wrap it up. We have a bunch of stuff we want to talk about. We want to talk about No Time to Die and Red Notice, and I was going to run down BGGCon.
Cowboy Bebop.
I know Cowboy Bebop's out there. We all want to talk about French Dispatch, at least those of us who have seen it. Which is not me and Nick yet. If we keep putting it off, maybe by then you and I will see it, Nick.
No.
But we just keep running out of time. There's been a lot of stuff to talk about. So maybe next week we'll talk about some of that stuff. But that's it for this week. And until next time...
Yo, Joe!
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.